cripple with new arms and legs. Oh, I'd like to wake up some fine morning and find everyone shaking hands and learn with a new day that's dawning. Ah, the peace that the world understands. You see, I'd gone to the mental institution, we called it the insane asylum, to see my mama for Christmas 1954. I met with a psychiatrist and he said, your mother doesn't seem to want to get well. All the progress she makes, she loses it just as fast as she gains it. Amen. And I knew why. Amen. And that's another story. Oh, I'd gone back to that empty house and fell across the bed when there was nobody there but me, and said, God, give me a message that'll help our people, young people, escape the dread consequences of sin that I have witnessed in my life. Amen. And I think in the midst of those trials and darkness, in the midst of many a dark Christmas, God made this song real to my heart. I lifted my gaze above the clouds that surrounded me, and I saw a better day coming. I saw the silver lining ahead. Amen. Where the poor and the old folks in new homes, Jesus set a mansion in a country where nobody begs. Cause the streets are pure gold, all the blind having new eyes to see with. Cause if it were any blind there, all it'd have to do was reach up and pick up a leaf off a tree of life and be healed. All the blind having new eyes to see with, and the cripple with new arms and legs. Oh, I'd like to wake up some fine morning and find everyone shaking hands and learn with a new day that's dawning of a peace that the world understands. I sang my song across the country and told my story time after time. People of God began to pray. The psychiatrist said, your mama's case is hopeless in so many words. She don't want to get well. But people like Brother Edward Lackey, pastor of the Assembly of God Church in Bunker, Missouri, said, son, let me know when she's healed so I'll know when to quit praying. Praise God. Those days, healing revival sweeping the land. Glory of God was camping in the midst of the saints of God, and the church was enjoying the greatest explosion that it had ever known. Faith was high and people were praying. Amen. And God was sweeping the world. People were being swept in by mighty revival. In just 1 month after I'd visited Mom in the hospital, I got a letter from that same psychiatrist sent, your mother's condition has reached the ultimate. You can come and take her home at your nearest convenience. My mom and my dad hadn't lived together for 2 years. I didn't think they ever would. I thought I'd always have to visit them in a different place. Praise God. In January, my dad went with me and brought Mama back home, and they stayed together until they died, and probably was happier than they'd ever been in all their lives. Oh, the poor and the old folks in new homes, no cabins in glory, in a country where nobody begs. All the blind having new eyes to see with. I don't want to miss it to you. And the cripple with new arms and legs. Oh, I'd like to wake up some fine morning and find everyone shaking hands and learn with a new day that's dawning all the peace that the world understands. We went to visit the little Hagger boy. Dean and Pearl came one at a time to church. Tamsel and I didn't know why. They both led the singing. And so when Dean was there, he led the singing. When Pearl was there, she led the singing for Brother Joe Lentz. That's Joyce and Joanne's mom and dad. Amen. Joyce is married to Marty Huff, and Joanne's married to Desi Allen. Amen. And they're still in the ministry. And Brother Joe took me down to pray for Dean and Pearl's little boy. He was 11 years old. He'd been born with his brains laying out on top of his head. The doctor said he'd never be more than a 3-year-old. He still wanted his mom to hold him. And Pearl was down in her back from holding that 11-year-old boy with his brains laying out on top of his head like a baby. I found out why they came to church with a smile on their face one at a time. Somebody had to stay home. This morning, there's a whole lot of people had to stay home for reasons just like that. They're held down, and they look for a better day. As Brother Joe Lentz and I drove back up the road, Brother Lentz said, if he's healed, it won't be my faith. I just can't seem to believe God that that little boy will ever be any better. Well, I'd like to tell you that he's better this morning. He's already graduated, praise God, before mom and dad, to the streets of purest gold, to the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. We took Mother Marvin Wright, stricken by polio, strong, muscular carpenter. I was his pastor. We took him to all of Brother Branham's meetings. We took him to every healing revival in the country. Brother Marvin Wright didn't get healed. But don't worry about it. All God fails in paying us off this morning, he's got it laid up in store for the first resurrection. I like to be standing around somewhere when that little Hagger boy comes out of the grave made whole by the power of a resurrection. I like to be standing around when Marvin Wright, praise God, without his wheelchair, puts on that brand new body and stands before the Son of Man and hears him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. Hallelujah. All the poor and the old folks in new homes, no homeless there, in a country where nobody begs. All the blind having new eyes to see with. Lord, the cripple with new arms and legs. Oh, I'd like to wake up some fine morning and find everyone shaking hands and look with a new day that's dawning. Ah, the peace that the world understands. It starts right here in God's altar, folks. Praise God, raise your hand and ask God to save somebody today before this day ends. Praise God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Reading in Revelations chapter 3, and unto the church, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Amen. Praise God. I'd like to preach for a little while on shopping tips for the church for Christmas. Amen. I'll concede this morning that you don't have much time left before Christmas to get your shopping done. So with this shopping list that I'm giving you this morning, I'm going to license you to do some shopping on Sunday. Amen. Since that's what most folks are going to do anyway, I'm going to allow you to finish up here with this list on Sunday. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Tips for your Christmas shopping. I even cringe from giving this message, if you could call it that, even a Christmas title, because that means that nobody will want to listen to it after December the 26th. They'll be so up to here with Christmas, they won't even want to hear anymore about it for a whole year. But I'm going to take a chance on it. Since it's the season, amen, I'm going to give it a seasonal name. And even though I know full well that a lot of folks will pass over it and not get the message, we may even have to, Brother Billy, amen, send it out after Christmas under an assumed name so folks will get to hear it. Praise God, because we ought not to quit at Christmas doing good. Can you say amen? We ought to keep on doing the thing that's right. We ought to keep our charity 365 days out of the year. Amen. And no matter how much we give, if we don't have it, it profiteth nothing. If we give all our goods to feed the poor and don't have charity, Paul said, it profiteth nothing. We have elaborate cantatas and plays and operas and musicals and, amen, special things for Christmas. Amen. Ah, yes, if we preach and preach and preach and even wax eloquent behind the pulpit and have not charity. That's the... Somebody said charity is love in action. The charity of God will put a smile on your face and a song in your heart, forgiveness in your spirit, long-suffering in your attitude. It's love in action, folks. Amen. Oh, yes, might be good to put that, since it's a time of giving fruit this year. Let's give, let's seek, let's buy. Let's get the number one fruit of the Spirit, love. Hallelujah. You think we can get it? You think we can have it? You think we can manifest it? Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Yes, we can. We can show it. We can have it. We can reflect it. It will show in our dealings with one another. It will show, amen, in our attitude toward one another. It will show in our feelings toward one another. It will show in our relationship toward our alleged, real, or imaginary enemies. Even the love of God will do that. Love and joy. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Put second on your shopping list. Joy. Praise God. I sometimes in this time of the year have to admit that I get just a little bit bent out of shape watching other folks have been out of shape. It's a terrible thing, you know, to get bent out of shape because you're watching other folks get bent out of shape at this time of the year. Amen. I think we ought to stay in shape. I think it's possible, amen, to keep our joy and if not get it this time of the year. Let's go shopping this morning for love. Let's go shopping this morning for joy. Let's go shopping for peace. Praise God. Love, joy, and peace. How do we have peace? How do we get peace? First, we make peace with God. How do you make peace with God? Apologize to Him. Tell Him, Lord, I'm sorry. You don't have to pray any elaborate prayers. You don't have to even know how to pray. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've sinned. Amen. And make peace with God. And then if you need to, tell your wife. You may need to several times a day. Tell your wife or tell your husband or tell your little boy or tell your little girl or tell your daddy or your mama, I'm sorry. I apologize. Amen. And oh, what peace. But I tell you something else you can do in order to have peace. You can let a whole lot of things that we make a whole lot out of just pass on by and ignore them. One of the best ways I've found to have peace is to ask God to give you grace to let it pass. Well, you're awful quiet, but you're thinking, amen. Yeah, you say it's principle. No, it's peace sometimes. You see, the way God looks at us, He looks at us as His little kids fussing. And if we're not careful, He'll give us both a whipping. That the way you did, Princess, when your kids got to fussing? Sometimes, amen, whether one of them was right or wrong, you wind up giving them both whipping. Sometimes all four of them. I'll say, wouldn't it be terrible for God to give a whole church full of whipping? Amen, because they wouldn't show the fruits of peace. Amen. I mean, Princess, she just caught up on a whole bunch of whippings while she was at it. Amen. She just whipped all four of them. I'd hate for the Lord, amen, to catch up just because He caught His kids quarreling. Amen. Of course, you don't have any trouble with kids. Amen. So much, they'll get over it. until they get so old. After a while, they get that place where it becomes principal then. And they're big now, and they'll never forgive. Never forget. Huh? Amen. Oh, yes. Praise God. I'll tell you one good way to purchase peace for yourself, your family, your church, your Sunday school class, your choir, wherever it might be, your brother, your sister, your wife, your husband, amen, your whole family. Amen. It'd be a good thing to do to just let some things float on by. Bible said a soft answer turneth away wrath, but I'll tell you, amen, something even better than that. Don't answer at all. Just let it go. Turn around, walk away. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. And you'll find on the shelf a precious commodity, peace. Peace that guarantees prosperity. Peace that guarantees that you'll be around to eat dinner. Amen. Christmas dinner today, tomorrow. Amen. Or the next day. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. It guarantees continuity. Oh, glory to God. In Sarajevo and in Bosnia today, there's peace. At least a fragile peace. People don't have to be afraid to get outside and walk the streets, afraid some sniper will level down at them with a scope and separate them for eternity from their family and from their friends. Amen. Today, they can begin to reconstruct. They begin to rebuild. Today, they patch up the bullet holes in their houses. Today, they put the windows back in their businesses and gather a little stuff that folks can buy something to eat. Christmas is better this year in Sarajevo, Bosnia, among the Serbs and the Croats, because there's at least a shaky promise of peace. Amen. Praise God for peace. Put it high on the shopping list. It don't cost very much. Amen. We'll stop there so far as the fruits of the Spirit. Praise God. Let's go over here to this scripture that I read in the book of Revelation. I counsel thee. You want some real good counsel about what to buy? Here it is. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Hallelujah. Ah, but then there comes along the know-it-all so-called faith preacher that says, you can't buy anything from God. Jesus paid it all. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. God said, buy of me. Isaiah said, buy of me wine and milk without money and without price. Amen. Ah, you say you can't buy. Well, in both Testaments, he said to buy. Hallelujah. How do you buy anything from God? How do you buy that gold? Why, the same way you buy anything in this world. You go down here to the factory and you give your time, 8 hours a day at least of your life, to that factory, amen, that insurance company, that concern, that business, amen, and with your paycheck you go and buy a thing. That paycheck is just a token of the 40 or 50 or 60 hours that you spent for that company that you might be able to buy something. You're really buying it with your sweat. You're really buying it sometimes at the risk of your life. At least those working in Armco Steel lately have found that out. Amen. As some of them may not make it home for Christmas this year. Amen. They buy it at the risk of their life. Ask some coal miner that's been in a cave-in. And some of his buddies, the only way they got them out was dig them out. They were crushed in the cave-in. They bought things for their families. They didn't intend it to be that way, but they bought it with their life. And their families today have a pension because Dad gave his life and he bought it for them with his life. I'm going to tell you, amen, the way to buy things from God is to give him your life. Praise God. Jacob bought Rachel for 14 years of his life given to Laban. That's how he got her, finally. Amen. He bought her with 14 years. Praise God. The Lord's not going to give you his eternal, everlasting gold for any 7 years. That's what Laban promised him initially. But he deceived him and he had to work 14 years. You're not going to get God's gold, God's golden streets and God's jasper city and a mansion forever and eternal life. Amen. For just a few days and then God, forget it. Today, you buy it by giving God the rest of your life. I want to tell you this morning, if you don't give God the rest of your life, you can't have it. If you just give him 10 years and quit, you'll lose everything you worked for. It's in the agreement. It's in the work agreement. Amen. Amen. That if a righteous man forgets about his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die in his iniquity and his righteousness shall be forgotten. It's in the agreement. The only way you're going to get God's gold this morning is give him your life. But Jesus said there was a man plowing and he found treasure in a field. Amen. And he went and sold everything that he had and bought that field. He deemed the treasure worth the sacrifice. You got to get your I's dotted. Amen. You got to get your priorities straight. Amen. You got to get your P's and Q's lined out. Amen. And then make your decision. Is this worth the rest of my life? It is, and you shall have it if you by faith will sell out this morning. Sell out your own ways. Sell out your own plans. Sell out your own sinful pleasures. Sell out your own friends. Sell out everything. Leave father and mother if you have to. Leave houses and land if you have to. Leave wives and children if you have to. Amen. Forget your own life, Jesus said, and hate your own life and take up your cross daily and follow me. And if you'll do that, you can have it. This gold tried in the fire. Any takers this morning? Anybody ready to buy? Hey, we're shopping on Sunday today. Amen. And legitimately so. Amen. Because we're in business for God this morning. Praise God. You want some gold? Tried in the fire. I'm telling you what it's going to take. It's going to take the rest of your life working for Jesus to hear him say, well done. You want special blessings from God? Put in some time for God. He pays well. Amen. Oh, praise God. When I was picking strawberries in Arkansas, I licked my chops and ate some big red ones and daydreamed about the ice cream I was going to buy on Saturday after the picking was over. We got 7 cents a quart for picking strawberries in Arkansas when I was a kid. The goal of strawberry pickers was to be able to pick 100 quarts a day. Very few did, but some really worked at it. Now, you don't know what it means for a poor boy that don't have any knee pads in a strawberry patch was little more than a rock pile plowed up with sharp, jagged flint rocks sticking up everywhere, and a strawberry patch planted in it. So I crawled on my knees till my knees got so sore that I couldn't crawl on my knees anymore. And then I hunched down on my feet and stooped down until my haunches got so sore and hurt so bad as a kid even, amen, that I, amen, couldn't get down on my haunches, still on my feet, and pick strawberries anymore. And then I started sitting down. And I sat down and scooted along and picked strawberries. Why? I wanted that 7 cents a quart. And the closer, Brother Roy, I got to 100 quarts, the closer I got to $7. Most of the time, I only made $4 a day picking strawberries. But I was glad to be making money. You could buy a lot of ice cream cones for $4 in those days, because there's a nickel apiece. You could buy, amen, a lot of Coca-Colas in those days, and a lot of RC and Pepsi. Amen, $7, $4, because they was a nickel too. Amen. And so I was a poor boy suddenly that came into it. My knees was wore out and my hunches was aching. Amen. And my sitting down place was tired. Amen. From picking strawberries in Arkansas. But I'd put in my time. And you know what I liked about picking strawberries? It was different in making hay for Floyd Caffey for $1.50 a day. He paid us at the end of the week. But when we picked strawberries, they paid us every day. Did you know that's Bible? To pay the laborer every day. Amen. They lived in a land flowing with milk and honey, but they was like the Filipinos. They had to go out every day and make the food. They had to pick the food they ate every day, fresh. And so God forbid them to hold back the wages of anybody that worked in Israel. Amen. He commanded them to pay their laborers every day. I like that. Amen. It's a more realistic way. The man that hired those the 11th hour, he paid him a penny, just like those that had toiled in the heat of the day, praise God. He had to pay them according to the law what he had agreed to pay them at the end of the day. Hallelujah. The day is coming to close this morning. For some that we preach to here, we've already said our sad last goodbyes. And they won't be back short of the first resurrection and the rapture of the church to spend the holidays with us anymore. Their day ended. It's payday. Glory to God. Oh, yes, put that at the top of your list. Gold tried in the fire. And what a wonderful thing that we can buy white raiment, praise God, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness might not appear. Praise God for it. You can have clothing. I don't know how many times I've had the nightmare of going to preach a camp meeting or getting ready for church, and it was time for church, and the people were gathering in for some reason or other. Amen. I was living in the room next door to the rostrum, and I didn't have my clothes on. And it was time to go to church and time to preach. And I was in my underwear, hiding from people as they came by. Amen. God don't want us to be unprepared when that great day comes. Glory to God. I know we live in a day, amen, when men will pay big money to go naked as possible. I mean, they can't hardly wait till the sun comes higher and the weather gets warm to pull off the clothes. Can you imagine how degraded our rich nation is that it wants to go naked? But I'll tell you something. If Jesus should suddenly appear in the clouds of glory, women would start pulling at their sleeves to get them as long as they could. They'd start pulling at their dress to get them as long as they could. Amen. They'd start hiding their nakedness. Amen. Because nobody wants to face God naked. Amen. You won't. Oh, you got some bold ones today. They can shout on the front seat, Pentecostal church in their britches. But boy, if Jesus walked in, they would suddenly disappear. Most of them crawl under the seat, or they'd crawl under the floor if they could. Amen. Because when people meet Jesus, it's going to change their attitude about nakedness spiritually and physically. Amen. He said, and buy me white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and at the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody got healed for Christmas? And could I say this morning, it starts with your eyes. The life of the body is the eye. It's almost impossible to have a well body, soul, and spirit with an evil eye. And so Jesus wants to heal your eyes. He wants to heal where you look, where you long to look, what you see, what you long to see. He wants you to want to see the right things. He wants you to want to see the right people. He wants you to see the right places. Amen. But above all else, he wants you to be able to see him. Because only if you see him with a good, healed, clear vision can you point him out to somebody else. The trouble with the rich leader, trouble with the church leaders in Jesus' day was that they were blind. And he said, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Amen. Come on. Come on, Brother Ray. I'm going to take you somewhere. You're blind. I'm blind too, but I've been there before. I think I know the way. Amen. Well, there's that wall. If the blind lead the blind. You know, trouble with many a modern ecclesiastic today, it's just like it was in Jesus' day. The blind leading the blind. You know the trouble a lot of Sunday school teachers and holiness churches across our country? I've said in their classes, it was the blind leading the blind. Amen. We think one way to win sinners is to get somebody that's halfway between sinner and saint to teach the people. Amen. So they got up with a Cheshire grin on their face. Downgraded the plain commands of the scripture and the word of God, amen, in holiness and righteousness, right in holiness church, amen. The blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Healing this year starts with your eyes. You got to get your eyes healed. Praise God, what a wonderful Christmas gift. He's got some eye salve that'll heal your eyes and anybody else you want to share it with. Praise God. And what a wonderful thing.